You know, we use this word praise so loosely. You know, we don't need any music. Can we just give God a praise for being present among us? You can do that with your hands. You can do that with your mouth. You can do that with your body. You can do that with your legs sometime. You can do whatever you want to do in here. My goodness. I was supposed to start the service talking about cookies. I don't know about that right now, but it's better than that. Let's start by declaring who we are, church. We are Gospel NL. Forever. Multi-ethnic. All the way around. Got to hold it there. Good. So everything we do is about that. So we partner with ministries. When you give to Relentless Church, we should tell you this better and more often. You're partnering with so many local ministries and even globally in Honduras. And one of our ministries that we partner with is Kairos Ministry. It's a prison ministry. And you have a part to play in this. Maybe you're like, whoa, I didn't come for this. You did. You just don't know it yet. We want you to be a part of what's about to happen in a couple weeks with our Kairos ministry. So I'll get to the cookies, but first let me tell you what it is. It's just a group of people that go into prison and just minister to these. It's a Christian community within the prison. So Central Prison is where we're about to go. It's a men's ministry. Some of you have asked, is there a women's version of this? And there is. But the powers that be, remember last week in the prayer journal, stuff we're praying for and against? The powers that be are not letting Christian groups go into the women's prison locally at this time. So that is one woman who makes that decision. I'm not going to say her name, but we're praying for her to change her mind. And we'll come up here one day and say, hey, we're open, women, get ready, we're sending you. But this trip is for the men. If you want to be a part of future trips, we'd love that. There's a table out here, you can talk about that. But not this week, but next week, we're sending three guys. We're sending Ray, Bill, Raf Gonzalez, our associate pastor, whose sabbatical ends today. Yeah. Praise God. This is the official end of his sabbatical. I have missed him. We're looking forward to having him back. But he's going with Ray and Bill next Tuesday or Wednesday, March 5th, to Central Prison right here. So here's what you can do. We want you to do this with us. So here's what you can do. You can pray. Prayer matters. Prayer changes things. So we're asking you to pray. Not just for our guys, they're part of a bigger team. This isn't a Relentless Church ministry, it's a bigger deal. So we're asking you to pray for them leading up to and especially why they are in prison, right? So it's just fun to say that my associate pastor is going to be in prison in a couple weeks. But so pray for them, and specifically with prayer, at the table out here, I hope you already know this, but there's a table and they do a prayer chain. So it's a visual representation of how many people care about. It's so easy in life and especially in prison to believe the lie that you're a lost cause and that nobody cares. So the visual way they do this is they'll put these prayer, it's on the wall out here, a little prayer chain. That's a little one. We want a huge one. We'd like a prayer chain that would fill this room. So if you sign up and agree to pray, don't do it if you're not actually going to do it. But if you sign up to pray, then they'll take that and they'll loop it and they'll make it a part of the prayer chain. And then they'll have a session with all these inmates in a couple weeks and they'll say, every one of these represents a real human who's praying for you. And it blows these and there's tears. And it's just a moving moment because they can't believe, why would you who have never met these guys, why would you take the time to pray? Because of the gospel. That's the gospel ministry. So just stop by the table. They'll answer all your questions. You can pray. You can sign up for the prayer chain so that you're on the chain. And then the third thing you can do is you can make some cookies. All right? So they use cookies. I don't know how many of you have been in prison. I know some of you should have been and you got away with stuff. But a cookie in prison is a big deal. So it's just a simple way to demonstrate the love of God. But I'm not going to call anybody out yet, but we've done this in the past, and some of you are just bad cookie makers. I know. So this was very important for the guys, for me to show you what you can do, what you can't do. So let me show an example of what not to do. All right, you can't be bringing crumble cookies into prison. You're going to get somebody killed. All right, so they won't let those in the prison for a lot of reasons. So they throw them out, or the staff eats them. So you're just wasting your time. So these are the cookies. They want them to look like this. Good, round, whole cookies, because God is whole. So you're wasting your time. So make the right kind of cookies, please. So those are due back next week. So we need you to get to baking, right? Now, baking. Sometimes I talk and I confuse people because I say get to bacon. Some of you are going to show up with bacon next week. It's not going to work. Baking cookies. We want you to go out to the table. We want you to tell them how many millions of cookies you're going to bake this week. Then bring them next Sunday, and they'll go into them, and they'll be just a simple way for somebody you've never met to believe in a God that loves them, and they're going to taste that love through the cookie, and they use them in all kinds of cool ways. So that's coming. Not this week, but next. So we wanted to tell you today because you got to get to baking this week. So do that as a family. Do that however you want to do it and bring them back next week. Now we're going to end this series today, How to Build a Relationship with an Invisible God. We're not going to end talking about building relationship. It's what we're built on. We're going to end the series, and then we're going to act it out and just, we're going to do what we've been talking about the last few weeks together as a church. I'll get to that. I'm super excited about where we're headed. But today we talked about how do we build a relationship with an invisible God. Well, it's always through Jesus. It starts there. We spent a week on through Scripture. We spent last week talking about through prayer. And today, well, before I go to today, let me talk about last week. Let me amend slightly. I gave a bad analogy last week. I hate to do that because I'm really good at analogies, but I gave a bad one. So I'm going to fix it. So I said, if I have a relationship with one of you, if I'm talking to Chauncey and I say I'm only talking to him in my head, talking about praying in your head, if I'm only talking to him in my head, then we don't have a very good relationship. As an example of praying, let's pray out loud. Well, the problem with that analogy is if I'm talking to Chauncey in my head, which I do sometimes, but he doesn't know what I'm saying. God does, right? So that's a bad analogy. We try to compare this relationship with this relationship, and it comes up short. So I came up short, and you've already forgiven me, and you didn't even know it. So how to have a relationship with an invisible God through Scripture, through prayer. Today we're going to talk about how do you hear from God? How do we even know God is, how do we know we're not talking to some invisible, you know, friend? I think invisible friends are the cutest things with little kids. It's so cute when they have invisible friends. When adults have invisible friends, it's creepy, all right? So how do we know we're not in some Truman Show simulation and we're singing, and how do we know God's even here, invisible? Part of the way we know is what we just experienced together in the community of worship. Like, only God can pull off some things happening in Relentless Church right now, today, this morning, and in the world. Some of your stories, I look around this 11 o'clock room, I look at where you were 5, 10, 15 years ago. There's just no explanation, but that there's a real God who is active and living, and part of what he wants you to hear this morning is he wants to communicate specifically to you. Now, I say that, and I want to excite you, but some of you get nervous. Right? God doesn't talk to individuals. That's weird. Are you talking about out loud God talking to you? Maybe. He can communicate any way he wants. We're not going to put him in any kind of box. This is important to Jesus. John 10:27, he said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So part of our walk is to be in tune and to listen. He's got to talk and hear. And it's a two-way relationship. We're always talking about relationship, not religion. If I'm talking to God in prayer and I'm reading his word and I never hear anything from him, that's a one-way relationship. And we want a two-way, true relationship where we talk to God and we hear from God. And if you're part of our heart this morning as a church, as an untold, unconvinced, like we are a church for people that aren't so sure about all this, if that's you, we're so glad you're here. How could you not want to hear from a God who knows your name, who knows everything there is to know about you, everything you've done, everything there is to know, who loves you? How could you, if he does communicate with people, how could you not want to hear from him? I think you do. You may not know it, but is it that simple? If you want it, he'll speak to you and you hear it. Is it that simple? Yes, but. It is simple, but there is a but. It is simple, yes, but. Number one, sometimes God seems silent. I wouldn't say that he is silent because he's always speaking, but sometimes from our human perspective, it seems like he's distant or he's not saying anything. And sometimes it's because we're not hearing well, and sometimes because he seems silent, and he has the right to do that as God. It's always strategic. He's always there. He's always coming. I think when he seems silent to me, it tells me I need to lean in a little more and be expectant of what's about to come. Secondly, yes, but sometimes something is in the way. I wanted to change that and say something is on the way. Let me be honest. All week I've been fighting number two. Is it simple to hear from God? Yes, but sometimes something is in the way. And I knew deep down where God was calling me to go with that, and I fought it because I didn't want to go there because I didn't want to, I don't know, I didn't want to make you mad. Let me just be honest. I didn't want to make you mad because what this, number two, sometimes something's in the way. I know how hard we run to relationship and away from religion, and I know how religion is, when you're not hearing from God, it's your fault, and it's guilt, and it's shame, and it's performance-based, and I don't want anything to do with that. But I need to talk about repentance. Sometimes there's something in the way. If you got something in your life and you know it's not aligned with God, what's he going to do when you come to him? He's going to hug you and he's going to lead with love always. But sometimes he's going to hug you, he's going to sit you down and he's going to say, before we talk about anything else, we need to talk about this. And you know what this is in your life. And if you're going around that or ignoring that or not dealing with that, then it's going to affect the relationship of hearing, of him talking and you hearing. It just is. So this it's a two-way conversation. This is a conversation with me and God this week. So I was like, you know, let me just hit number two. Sometimes something in the way. Deal with that. Let's go on. He's like, no, stop and talk about repentance. I'm like, you know. It's just, and he's like, you know, he does this in scripture. He does this to me. He asks a question that he knows the answer to. Does he ever do that to you? Just me? He said, David, are you scared? I'm a lot of things. I ain't scared, Lord. He's scared. But I talk about a lot of things up here. Repentance is easy. I can talk about repentance. And he says, why are you scared? I just told you I was. And we worked through that, through the week of. And he said, perhaps something's in your head with this building campaign. And we got this. And you're taking some pressure on you that's not yours to take. And you think if you talk about people's sin, they might not give to the building. You got a lease that's up. And then you're going to be a homeless church. And how good is that? So let's just not talk about repentance. February 2nd, 2027. Oh, you better not be here that Sunday because I'm bringing it, right? And all this garbage in my head. It's like, all right. And he had to just. Bottom line for him to me was, if you're going to speak for me, which is what preaching is, you can't do that without talking about repentance. And your fear is a man fear. It's not a fear of God's. And repentance isn't a negative thing. It's beautiful. What is repentance? It's not being sorry. That's what some of you were taught. It's not being sorry. It is being sorry to the point of change, of turning and going the other direction from your sin. That's good for people, right? And it may be hard to hear, and that's a good thing because you need to deal. And I battled with that even this morning, just honestly, coming, driving in. I was just hesitant. How much do I want to say about calling people to repentance? God, we got a great grump. There's not a lot of repentance necessary at Relentless Church. And he's like, oh, if you only knew. So I'm like, okay, how much am I going to say? Am I going to go all in on repentance or just do what I want to do, which is I'm already 5 minutes past number two. And he said, no, sit in it. Let me speak to people. You don't even know what I'm saying to people while your mouth is moving. So I was hesitant. We pray back here before first service. We pray and we pray for our person coming on stage to talk and worship, which is Chauncey today. We pray for our whole worship team, tech team, and we pray for me. We have volunteers that volunteer for each of that each week. So Joe, our worship leader today, volunteered to pray for me. Now, he knows none of what I just told you about my week and my struggle with number two. And he's prayed for me before, and I never remember him praying this. This morning, he just happened to pray. He said, I pray for David to be obedient as he preaches and to give him strength. And I knew in that moment, we're talking about repentance, right? And we're calling you to repentance because we're not ashamed of that. We're excited about that. God got me there. So that's, let me just tell you about my day. That was before service. Just God, if you're wondering if he's among us and he's active, like I get so much information that you don't have, I need to tell you more. So that was the prayer that God gave Joe because God knows what's going on with you. After first service, we had some people come up and pray. We had a woman come up whose dad is imminent, about to die in hospice, and just the privilege of getting to pray with her as God meets her in her grief. Then I had a young person, I think 16 years old, came up, wanted to pray for her friend. I'm going to say her name because why not? Because we pray. So she's in my prayer journal as of today. Her name's Arissa, and she says, I have a friend who's awesome, and she's an atheist. Should I bring an atheist to church? Yes, this is the best place on the planet. And maybe there's some churches that don't like atheists. We happen to love them here. So yes. So I look forward to meeting Arissa in the future. And then I had another woman come up and just say, I need to tell you this. This has never happened before. I went on my Sunday morning walk, and I just felt God asked me to pray for you, David, my pastor. I just prayed for you this morning. You would say what God wanted you to say. And she had heard first service. So I thought you would want to hear that. She's like, I've never done that before on Sunday morning. I said, well, maybe that should be a habit. But there's just no doubt that you're here for a reason, that God wants to speak specifically to your life, and we got to learn to hear him. So sometimes something is in the way of your relationship with God. And I think you know what that is when there is something, right? So you can bring that to God, and he's so good and faithful and full of grace and mercy to do what he's going to do with it. There's nothing he's scared of. We just got to deal. Third, sometimes we don't know how to listen. I think that's where we want to spend our time today. What time we have left, because I went on and on about repentance. Because he told me to. How to listen. If you don't know how to listen to God, then this just becomes a confusing message of like, oh, people really do that? I guess I'm not on the insider. It's nothing to do with that. So let me give you some things. How? First, your mindset. The biggest part is getting over the hump of our cynicism and our skepticism, and God may have spoken back in the day, but he doesn't speak anymore. Those are all lies. So we got to have a mindset to believe that he does speak. I have a friend this week tell me that 8-year-old daughter who came to her parents and said, God told me I'm going to be a worship leader, right? And it's so easy to be like, oh, how cute, you know, 8-year-old. It's so easy to say, you know, well, we'll think about that. We'll pray about that. Listen, when an 8-year-old kid says God spoke to him, we want to start with God spoke to them. Yes, we need to run that through some filters, but we don't want to live in this cynicism when we hear and see God do miraculous things to start with. How can we prove that not to be? We want to start with the mindset that God clearly speaks, wants to speak, and guess what? Is really good at it. He's really good at it. It's like, well, God can't speak to me. God made you, and he made you to hear him. So the pressure is on him. Like, if I'm putting a lot of pressure on him this morning because I believe he's going to speak to you. Part of it is your mindset. It's not hard for him. So he'll come through like he always does. We just sang, he'll never fail. His speaking is not contingent on your listening. Somebody like, man, God doesn't speak to me. He does. If you don't hear him, we got to deal with that part, right? His speaking is not contingent on your listening. His speaking is not contingent on your spiritual maturity, right? Sometimes we accidentally teach that. The closer you are, the longer you've been a Christian, the more like, no. It's not contingent on any of that. It's not even contingent on if you're a Christian. He speaks to people that are not his yet, right? He loves the world. He speaks to the world. He desires to speak to everybody in this room, and he does, and he will. Let me show you. I could do 7 slides of all the ways that he speaks, but let me show you some just in writing. He loves to speak through scripture. I would make the case maybe his favorite way. He speaks through prayer. Speaks through preaching. I didn't think of that. He did. Speaks through godly friends. Speaks through ungodly friends. Wait, he speaks through, he spoke to a donkey in scripture. I don't have time to tell that story, but he did. He can speak anyway. We believe in circumstances, not coincidences. Don't use that word. It's a cuss word. Coincidences, right? This idea that things are random. God is so strategic. We believe in circumstances, not coincidences. Dreams and visions. I would keep a journal by your bed and see, because God still speaks in dreams and visions. That still small voice. The arts, which is a whole bucket of things, you know, that we use the word in modern language, like somebody will call themselves, I'm a creative, right? I'm a creative, which means all kinds of things, right? Well, the original creative is God, right? He is the creator. He is the most creative. So all the arts and music and like those are godly things, and he'll use them to speak. And literally, that's not an exaggeration, thousands of other ways that God will speak. He'll use his voice. I know people that I trust and love that said, I heard God say this to me. And you think, well, that's weird. It's biblical, right? That's not my experience. Maybe not be your experience. Let's just not limit the ways that God speaks. Just know that he speaks and he'll speak to you. And your job is to lean into that and not be scared of it. Number 2, how? We got to raise and increase the godly volume in our lives. That's a lot of what we're doing at Relentless Church. We're trying to increase God's voice. You get to control what comes into your head. So this is scripture, this is prayer that increases the volume of God in your life. We're about to set out on a journey together as Relentless Church that I'm so excited about as we get into small groups and homes. And we're going to go straight study of scripture. We're going to walk through the Bible together. So these groups just opened up. You should have gotten an email if you're on our list. We have 7 groups. 4 are meeting on Tuesday, 1 on Wednesday, 1 on Friday, 1 on Sunday. I believe as of a few days ago, the Sunday one is already full. I told you that would happen. The 6 others are open. You got this week. They don't start this week. They start next week. You're like, well, I can't make the first one, or I can only make the second. Like, it's okay. Just be a part of this, because this is raising the volume of God's voice in our lives collectively. So be a part of this. I know it's challenging. It can be challenging, but I'm so excited about what God's about to do. This multi-ethnic church movement, This is the peace. Sitting in homes under the authority of the Word of God and sharing what God is saying to you. We don't make people talk in small groups, so it just you can come and listen to other people talk. That's fine. That's a win. But that's what's never happened in the history of the United States. Like, we're not a brand new country. 250 years next year. Never, hear me, never in the history of our country have people across racial lines sat in living rooms and studied the Bible together. Never. It's never happened. Am I saying it's the first time in history? No, I'm saying in this season, the multi-ethnic church didn't exist. Yes, we integrated schools. The church didn't lead in that like they should, right? Yes, we've passed laws, and good for that. But nothing is, if there's no evidence, look around. Nothing is going to change the world except Christians living in community under the authority of Scripture together. There's more power in a small group in a home of people that grew up different and come from different places than there is in making kids go to the same school across town, right? Like, this is the change. This is what we're after. So I'm just inviting you into it. And if you can't make a small group, I think you can. But if you can't, if you think you can't, then join us on this journey. In front of you, or under your chair, are these bookmarks. Grab one and look at it if you want. There should be something around you. All right, this isn't a bookmark. It's a flyer. I don't know the technical term. It's beautiful. This starts tomorrow. It's not a reading plan. We didn't call it a reading plan. We called it a study. We're asking you to study Colossians with us. We're going to go verse by verse. So Monday, February 24th, that's tomorrow. We read two verses. I can do that, right? Two verses. You're not going to be behind. In fact, some of you are going to go home and read two verses today and be like, ah, I'm good till Tuesday, all right? You're kind of missing the point. We don't want you to read it. We want you to believe that God's going to speak to you through it. And then next week in your small group, just be honest. You say, yeah, I read everything and I got nothing. That's okay, right? It's okay. But we're going to talk about this. I'm so geeked up. I don't use that phrase normally. I don't think I've ever said that before today. I'm so geeked up about the Jones family. We're going to walk through this verse by verse together. And more than that, the Relentless family. Isn't that powerful? All of us in our own homes, living rooms, closets, work, wherever you do it, reading the exact same words of God together on the same day, then talking about it on Sunday when we're going to start a series next week, and then getting in homes during the week and talking and praying through it together. Like, how awesome is that going to be as God speaks to us from the letter that God wrote to a city called Colossae, which is the book of Colossians, but I believe that God spoke to Relentless Church. I believe that God's good enough to do that and able to do that. So you talk about raising God's voice in your life. This is going to be amazing just to flood ourselves Sunday morning, daily. Right, don't get behind. We made it so there's some catch-up days, so we're not trying to shame anybody into this. We want to raise the godly volume in our lives. So that starts tomorrow, and you're invited. If you lose this, it's on the website, but please join us. Second or third, lower and decrease the worldly volume in your life. So we want to increase one and decrease the other. And let me just use this example. I don't think this podcast exists. Maybe it does. If hypothetically, there's a podcast whose whole goal is to take the things of God and make fun of them and mock them and take the things that are not of God and glorify them and uplift them and just celebrate the things that are not of God and mock the things that are of God. Let's say that podcast exists. What if this room, we all listen to that podcast every day this week, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes before bed, maybe on your commute, if you don't have a commute, maybe just at home, and we all just flooded our minds morning and night every day this week with that podcast, do you think next Sunday would feel any different in this room? I know it would. First service wasn't so sure, but you guys are more awake. I know we could feel it in this room. So it's not about your podcast. It's just about what collectively we're putting into our mind. If you want, and you do, if you want to hear from God, increase the godly volume, decrease or turn off the worldly volume. You know, we have trips every summer. It's a big part of our student ministry, middle school trip and a high school trip. If you've got a 6th through 12th grader, you need to get them on this trip and we'll help you. And we always have such amazing fruit. And wow, camp is awesome. It's not that camp is awesome. It's that at these weeks, the good ones, their phones aren't allowed with them, right? Because it's the first time, it's the only 5 days of this teenager's year where we're decreasing the volume from the world and we're letting God speak, right? It's not that he struggles to speak the other 51 weeks. It's that they just are in an environment where things are lowered and things are raised. So I agree with the sentiment that the worst thing that we did in church, one of the worst things we did in church was said that camps are only for kids, right? They're for adults. So that's why our men's and women's retreats are such a big deal, because for the same as, I think adults need that turning down and turning up even more than our teenagers. So maybe one day we'll do an adult camp. I don't know. We need to, but we got to figure out how to do it at home. We got to figure out how in our normal lives to turn up God's volume and turn down all these other things. Let me give you a practical way to do that. Number four is maybe the best way that you can do two and three together. Fasting raises God's voice and lowers the world's voice and puts your body in its place. What is fasting? Fasting is abstaining from food or water, right? People say, I'm gonna fast from TV. No, you're not. That is literally impossible. The word means abstaining from food. So we've changed what the word means because we can think we can change words. We can't. You can abstain from TV, but you can't fast from TV. Fasting, by definition, is I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. So why would God call us to do that? Because it's a beautiful reminder. It's a desperation, because if you don't eat today, if you don't eat the rest of the day, at some point, some of you already, some of you in a few hours, your body's going to start to tell you you need food. It's going to start to make noises. You start to feel a certain way. Fasting is God's way of saying, no, I'm going to remind you, you need something more than food. You need me. So as your body is crying out, your soul begins to realize, I need God more than my body needs food. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to commune, and I'm going to hear and talk to him. It's amazing how in my life, fasting increases my ability to hear the voice of God. Why? Because it teaches you to turn down the volume of your body or your flesh, and it allows you to turn up his volume. So it's just a beautiful thing. We're going to do that together. I'm going to get to that in a second. Fifth list is listen. How to listen is just listen. Sometimes you just got to focus in and listen. My oldest son is running sound in the booth. Don't turn around and look at him. But he had the hardest time when he was younger to listen. And it wasn't defiance. It wasn't rebellion. It was wiring. He just is so locked in on what he's listening to or what he's watching. Like, you could yell at the top of your lungs while he was watching TV that the house is on fire. Like, he wasn't ignoring. We had to teach him, Jackson, look at me, right? Once. And then he's a great listener, right? But he had to learn to listen. I mean, when he was young, when he was two or three, when he was four or five, when he was six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Right, he had to learn, and he's come a long way. Some of you are at the very early part of your journey of learning to focus, to turn down the noise, and it's a learned skill to, I want to hear what the Almighty Creator God has to say to me. He's got something to say, but you got to try, and you got to have effort to listen. So the way that we have talked about this historically as a church, and I just love it so much, I love it for one reason. And that's because people remember it, because it's silly. But I like silly, and I like more than silly, I like you remembering what we talk about. So let's go, baby. Let's go, baby. Say, sko, baby. Sko, baby. S-K-O. Sko, baby. Let's go. Let's go. So you can't tell if I'm saying let's go, traditional, or sko. If you say it real fast, let's go, you're not sure what I'm doing, right? But let's go. S-K-O. I preached this at a youth conference years ago. There's a youth group in Jacksonville, Florida, that it stuck, and they started saying it, and they made T-shirts, and they sent me one. And I was going to wear it today, but I couldn't find it. But it's just seek, know, obey. It's simple. It's biblical. If you want to hear from God, you got to seek, right? So I had a lot to say about that, but Joe said it better than I could. I love his example of looking for the phone in the cushions, but at my house, it's never the phone. It's the remote. And to me, it's a character issue. If you're watching TV and you can't put the remote on the table, well, it fell between the cushions. That's a character issue. That should never, ever, the remote should never fall between the cushions. That's a character issue, but if you're looking for something, you're looking hard. So we want to seek. Do we really want to know what God's saying? Right? Then we're going to seek it. And then eventually, because God's really good at this, we're going to know what he says. And this is where I lose some of you, because you're just not sure that God, if you seek, that he'll have anything to say to you. Or the bigger issue is, how do I know that's not me talking to myself? How do I know I'm not my own invisible friend? And I'm putting, and this is where it's malpractice from people with microphones that lead churches. When you put God's name on man's thoughts, that's so dangerous and so harmful, right? So when we, and I get the temptation, right? Sort of. Like when we, I know we're not the first to do a building campaign like we did it, but I have pastor friends. I don't know any other pastor that did a building campaign for a building that doesn't exist. at a location that is unknown, right? That's what we did in the fall. And we put it out there and we said, listen to God and do what he says. And to God's glory, $2 million was committed over a three-year campaign for an unknown building in an unknown location. Our lease is up February 1st, 2027, and we are listening to God and excited about what he's going to do. So I see the temptation for me to say, hey, God told me this is what we're supposed to buy. It's down here to the right, and I'm sure of it. That would be so clean and simple, and he hasn't, right? So we're going to keep leaning in, but what we're not going to do is try to get ahead of God or rush him. He knows our dates. He's not worried. We're not worried. So what I can do is give you an update on Immeasurably More. That's the name of our campaign. We had our first fruits offering in November, which was the $2 million was committed, but let's get a chunk of it to get our eventual down payment. We extended that to the end of the year because some people like to give at the end of the year for tax purposes. So we never told you the total of our first fruits offering. I'm going to tell you now, $380,000. $380,000 was given. Yeah, it's a big number. Now, it's bigger than that now because we have January and February as people continue to give through their commitments. If you're newer with us and you don't know what I'm talking about, you can join our commitment. We'd love to, our campaign. We'd love to get you in on that. Let me give you another update on that. We have established a property planning team. So we put together a group of people because, like, there was a piece. We get listings. We get buildings that we could renovate. We get pieces of land. I actually drove by a piece of land and walked on it. And I'm like, what am I? Is God supposed to? Like, it looked like trees and a bunch of power lines. That's all I got. So it's like, let's put some people together that maybe have some expertise in this area. Now, people want to know, back into how do you know God's speaking? If God's good at that. If he wants to tell me, your leader, this is the land and I step on it, he can put that in my soul. How do you know when God's speaking to you? You just know, right? And I didn't know on that specific property. So we put together a team of people that actually do this for a living. Like they live Monday through Friday in land acquisition. They understand, you know, markets and what it costs to build and all those kind of things. So they're helping us sift through all the possibilities just to be smart. At the end of the day, we're trusting that God will know. You know, the best thing, you know, my role, this is not me. My role is not, oh, that would be a great place for a corner right there. I could see a corner. I could see a beautiful gutter coming right. Like, that ain't me. What's my, I'm a spiritual leader. What I'm a call us to is to fast. So we're going to start fasting Fridays, this Friday as a church. Why Friday? Because it starts with the same letter as fasting, and I think that's cool. So this is not required. We're not going to know. We're not going to send an email. Reply all if you fasted today. This is between you and God. But we've seen this. When I look back at the amazing story of God bringing us from the theater to this building, and it's miraculous. I've told that story. I won't tell it again today. But only God could pull that off. It was coming out of a season of us listening to God through fasting as a church. So it's not a magic trick. It's just obedience. So you want to fast all day Friday? Great. You want to fast from lunch, from breakfast, from a snack? I'll leave that to you and God. You want to fast from TV? Don't do that because it's impossible. There's no such thing. I'm talking about food because our body, I don't feel right because I didn't eat. Then pray for God to lead us to the right location, the right building. We're going to fast every Friday until God answers this prayer. So join us with that if you like. I was scared of fasting since my stroke and headaches. I can't skip a meal because it'll throw my body out. And just recently, God has said, it's okay. And he started to show me a day connecting with God with a headache is better than a day without a headache, not connecting with God. You don't have to fast to connect with God, but you know what I'm saying? Just come on with us. Let's see. A God who's really good at speaking, we're saying, you know, we don't have a home in less than 2 years. He ain't worried. We're not worried. His arm is not too short. Let's listen and ask him to speak to that PPT, the personal property team. He's got it. So we just want to be a part of it. So I'm excited about that starting this Friday. I hope you're excited about not eating. Only Christian people could be excited about not eating. He's really good at this. The burden of proof is on him. When you know, you'll know. Let me go back to that discerning because I love the fear of putting God's name on man's thought is a legit fear because it damages people. But it's not as bad as you think. We have ways we can discern between what's me and what's God. Right? We can figure that out. We can ask a very simple question. Does that sound like David or does that sound like God? That's the power of Scripture. That's why we're jumping into Colossians. We're going to learn the gospel. If you don't know the character of God, then you have no idea what's God and what's you. How do we know who God is? From Scripture. So if you don't know who God is, then you're really gullible. Well, Pastor said it. If you don't know Scripture, you don't know the difference between God's character and man's character. So Scripture is how we discern. So for example, let's say, and this is a crazy example, but unfortunately it's not that crazy, depend on where you grew up and how you grew up. But let's say I tell you this week, this is not real. God told me, I'm thankful for that Civic, but it's time for me to drive a Jaguar. Right? God told me, not a pet Jaguar, but a vehicle Jaguar. God wants me to drive a Jaguar. So we're adding the drop down. When you give online, as most of you do, you have a Measurably More building campaign. You have our general giving. Well, as of today, you have a third category, Pastor's Jaguar Fund. Right? Because God, and some people that don't know the character of God, well, the pastor said it, maybe he needs a Jaguar. You know, right? But we can just add, does that sound like a David thought? Is there a scripture that would back up God wanting me? There's not. But if you didn't know, there's not. That's all fake, right? So we can flush that. There's a friend of mine this week who's getting ready to have a milestone birthday, 40th birthday. And he said, I don't know. I'm not ready to say this out loud yet. So what do you got? He said, I think God is calling me to get rid of some distractions in my life. He said, I think he wants my 40s to be present. He's got kids in middle school, about to be in high school. I think he just wants me to be present with my wife and my kids like I never have. I think he's calling me to drop my side hustle, which he really enjoys, to drop my fascination with crypto, to get out of the market. I think he's calling me just to focus and remove these distractions. I don't know. I was like, dude, I don't have to pray about that. That sounds like God. That doesn't sound like you. I know you. I know how much you love your side hustle. Like, you didn't come up with that, right? It's an easy filter. I'm comfortable saying God put that thought in his mind, right? And I think he knows that too. He just, that's how we are. So we can discern what's from God and what's not. We ask that question. Does that sound like God, sound like us? We compare it with Scripture, and then hopefully you have godly people in your life. You can say, hey, does this sound like God or not? Hopefully you have people in your life and say, David, God did not tell you that you need a Jaguar. Is it, as somebody asked me, is it a sin to drive a Jaguar? It may not be a sin for you. It should be a sin for me. But now if you give me one, no. It's not about if it's a sin or not. It's like that's not from God. Don't put God's name. We can have, and there are people in my life that would say, that ain't from God, right? Hopefully you have people that will tell you the truth even when it's hard in your life. So between godly counsel, Scripture, the Holy Spirit, filter, like, we don't have to worry about putting God's name on stuff that's from us. You can figure out if a thought is from you, and we will help you as a church do that. So I don't think that's the hardest part. The hardest part is the O. Once you know God has said, then it's time to obey. You got to do it. For today, that may be just coming forward and receiving prayer. If you're like, I think I need to be prayed for. There was, I won't comment. I don't want to embarrass people. I really don't. After church a few weeks ago, I was standing up here talking and praying with somebody, and I caught a guy's eye, and he was going, right? And my family is constantly telling me to wipe my lips. It gets on their nerves. I'm like, hey, I'm a professional speaker. Things happen. But I thought, it's like, oh, I mean, what do I got, you know? And I was like, and then he's like, no. So I was like, he's telling me something, but I was like, focused. So I finished that conversation, looked back, and they were gone. And I was like, man. So I went out, and I got him in the parking lot. I'm like, will you tell me something? He's like, yeah, I was trying to tell you my son wants prayer. I was like, okay, so we came back in and prayed, but I was like, I didn't get the message. But it's hard. I guess, like, if you're mid-room, sometimes I know it's a mile to walk from your seat up here and to be prayed for. God can meet you in your chair, but we have a team that would love to pray for you. Some of you, it's back on that repentance piece from 20 minutes ago. God hasn't let that go of your mind. That's for a reason. And you don't have to talk about it. Right, our prayer team is trained. You come up here, get on your knees or stand or whatever, and they put their hand on your back. You don't look at them. That's code for, I don't want to talk about it. And we will pray over you, and you don't have to say a word. You don't have to say your name. Right? If you want to talk, you can. But maybe obedience is just doing that in the moment today as we open this. I'm going to remind you, as we've become a church over the years that actually likes each other, not just loves each other, that take all those wonderful conversations that you want to have. That's what we have a beautiful cafe and a lobby for, so that people that want to stay in here and deal with God can do so. So maybe that's your obedience. Often when we think about seeking God's voice and knowing and obeying, it's about big life decisions. Which job do I take? Which person do I marry? Where do I go to school? And that's great, but that's such a small fraction of what we're talking about. More likely than big decisions on hearing the voice of God, it's hearing what God says to you about who you are, what's true about you and what's true about him. So it's applying the truth of God to your life. Let me give you, end with an example of the powerful way God did this in my life. I was in the hospital right after my stroke, November 22, and I was in La La Land, so I didn't get this text. Dean Troon, my spiritual advisor in Arizona, texted my wife and said, God woke me up in the middle of the night, which is not unusual for him, and he knew what was going on, and he said, God gave me this scripture for me, but I feel like God wants me to give it to you and David. All right, and this is the scripture, Genesis 15:1. You've heard me talk about this. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. And we were dominated by fear. And that God being my shield has just become such a motto in my life. It is so powerful and emotional to me to dwell on that verse. Because I know God said that because it's his word. But I know God said that to me because God woke up a man in Phoenix, Arizona to send a text to my wife. He's so good at that. And he'll do the same. He'll do the same to you. Sometimes you're the person that God's going to speak to somebody else through. And that's a really fun part of ministry. When God puts something on your heart, somebody on your heart, reach out every time because you just never know what God might be up to. So let God use you and let God speak to you. Right? God used that. And still, 2.5 years later, that's such a powerful verse in my life that God gave me. He spoke to me. Why didn't he just speak straight to me? Well, one, because I was laid up in the hospital. But more than that, because it just shows his creativity, that this is all a community thing of him using each other to speak. He wants to speak to you. You got to listen. You got to seek that, want that, know that, and then obey that. So for me, it's just sitting in the truth that God is my shield and just sitting in that. That's how I obey that and dwell on that and choosing to believe that. So what is God asking you to believe about yourself and your life today? I don't know, but I'm hoping you do. Be really excited about where we're going, church. Tomorrow we start this beautiful study. Sign up for a small group. If you need to be prayed for, we'll be here for you right after I pray and dismiss. And don't forget the cookies. In Jesus' name, God, we come to you. We thank you for working in this room so powerfully already. Thank you for meeting people exactly where they are. God, if there's somebody out there, and I know there is, that just wonders if you still speak, God, I thank you for showing up this morning so powerfully among us. Thank you for your presence. I pray that those that need to not leave this room without talking to you or being prayed for, I pray you'd give them courage to take a step. God, meet us where we are. Just thank you for your voice. I pray your blessing on this study. I pray you'd speak to us as we enter your word collectively as a church tomorrow. We pray and go in Jesus' name. Amen.